This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling.
America is built on hard work and powered by American energy. Chevron has spent $44 billion with local businesses across all 50 states since 2022, fueling infrastructure and communities, all while strengthening local economies. Last year, Chevron increased U.S. production nearly 20%, powering communities and businesses from the heartlands to the coast. We're helping to fuel America's energy advantage, building a brighter future right here at home. Visit chevron.com/America to discover more.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. When you visit the doctor, you probably hand over your insurance, your ID, and contact details. It's just one of the many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose it, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to One Nation. I'm Brian Kilmeade. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. We're going to end it strong. Tonight on the show, Douglas Murray, a deep thinker who knows what's going on in the world and the next move America should make. We have Curtis Sliwa. He still thinks he's got a legitimate shot to be the next mayor. He'll explain why. And Michael LaRosa, where the Dems go from here, because right now the game plan is don't like Trump, and that's not working. Now, time for the fastest, most impactful monologue in America. And we begin with the war on drugs, which has been going on for decades. Remember this.
This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
We also have the Nancy Reagan one, Just Say No, which, by the way, didn't work. So the difference between your brain on drugs then and your brain on drugs now is that those drugs are more lethal than ever. They're killing you, and they're being funneled through our country to kill us by other countries. The president and President Trump isn't standing for it anymore. How do I know? I've been paying attention. We have never seen a week like this. I mean, I'm talking about the war on drugs. It is a shooting war on drugs happening before our eyes. For starters, the U.S. military blew up a drug smuggling cartel boat off the coast of Venezuela. You're looking at it right now in the Caribbean, probably going to go to Trinidad, then to our shores. It was transporting illegal narcotics heading right to the U.S. Watch.
If you're on a boat full of cocaine or fentanyl or whatever headed to the United States, you're an immediate threat to the United States. And the president, under his authority as commander-in-chief, has a right under exigent circumstances to eliminate imminent threats to the United States. We're not going to sit back anymore and watch these people sail up and down the Caribbean like a cruise ship. Interdiction doesn't work because these drug cartels, what they do is they know they're going to lose, 2% of their cargo. They bake it into their economics. What will stop them is when you blow them up, when you get rid of them.
And that's what we did. And it won't be the last time. 11 members of the Venezuelan cartel, TDA, also killed. Another show of force. Look at this. Federal officials, high seas interception of hundreds of thousands of pounds of chemicals coming from the Nexus, China, destined for the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico.
What you're looking at right now is 1,300 barrels of precursors to methamphetamine that the Sinaloa cartel needed to complete their production of methamphetamine. It's going to take 24 18-wheelers to remove these barrels to a secure storage location. But I want you to visualize that instead of these containers or these barrels, that you see American bodies, because that's what's happening in China's undeclared war against the United States, working with Mexico, the Sinaloa cartel, a foreign terrorist organization that is producing these illegal drugs that are killing Americans on a daily basis.
Story being told here, 420,000 pounds of meth that have been converted to the street value. If you actually do that and play it out, $569 million. Somebody would have made that. The Trump administration is now intimidating these South American countries participating just by showing some muscle and telling everyone there's going to be consequences for trying to get America hooked on drugs and, in many cases, one and done, death. So, like designating two Ecuadorian gangs as foreign terrorist groups. That was Marco Rubio on Thursday. Sending 10 F-35 fighter jets to Puerto Rico as part of a buildup in the Caribbean, which also includes a trio of warships, among other Navy assets. And terminating the 2021 designation put out there by Joe Biden of Venezuelans for temporary protective status. That's gone. Bad actors no longer welcome here.
Venezuela has been very bad, both in terms of drugs and sending some of the worst criminals anywhere in the world into our country. They emptied out, you don't know this, but they emptied out their prisons in Venezuela, and they emptied them out into the United States of America. And that's part of the problem we have. We're getting them out. We're getting them out rapidly.
It's what he said on the campaign trail and what he's doing in real time. Trump's war on drugs is in play. And by the way, it's working. And it just isn't. It's just not over yet either, because the narco cartels are creating new ways to poison Americans. They're trying to get us back with this thing called netazine, which is 43 times more powerful than fentanyl.
It comes mostly in a powdered form, or it can be crushed into pills, which means it can be mixed into other drugs. The problem is, because it's so potent, if you take it, you're dead. Mm-hmm. And now the cartels are using it as a way to actually add into other drugs to try to make them more potent. And it's just creating another crisis on top of the fentanyl crisis.
Yeah, they want a body count. They don't want addicts. And that's what's different about this. And they're finding new ways to fight us at our border.
We are increasingly concerned that these cartels are now in possession not just of landmines and grenade. We're now seeing the deployment of drone technology by narco-terrorist groups operating out of Venezuelan territory, in many cases into Colombia.
So they're fighting back. So if this week tells us anything, it's this country under this president is more than equipped than ever before to take on these cartels and these countries that get in our way. This is essentially a shooting war on drugs. Joining me right now, House Affairs Committee member, Congressman Michael Lawler. Congressman, your reaction to the president's game plan.
I think the president is spot on. I've been saying this for years, that the cartels need to be treated as terrorist organizations, because that is exactly what they are. And he is right to designate them as such, and even far righter to take action, as we saw this week, striking at ships that were trafficking drugs. The fact is, over 100,000 Americans die on an annual basis from drug overdose, 70,000 of which is tied to fentanyl. And I introduced legislation just a few weeks ago to make it clear that anyone who traffics or deals fentanyl-laced products should be charged with murder, because that is exactly what they are seeking to do. They are attempting to kill Americans. And, you know, you look at what we are dealing with around the globe when it comes to terrorism, the death toll that has piled up from the illegal and illicit trafficking of drugs is far greater than anything we've seen. And the fact is that these terrorist, narco-terrorist states like Venezuela and these terrorist organizations, these drug cartels, need to be treated as such. And I think the president is spot on in what he is doing, and I fully support it.
Congressman, what I love most, and there's a lot to love about this, and that is the stopping of China and the precursors. We've been telling them. They said they don't know anything about it. They'll do their best. What can they do? We know they know all about it. And now they lost a lot of money, and they know that we know how it's getting here. I love that, even though we're in a sensitive time with trade negotiations.
This is critical, both in terms of combating that illicit drug trade between China and Mexico, as well as these other narco states in Central and South America. But moreover, Brian, it's also critical for the United States to take back control of the prescription drug precursor industry. China should not be in control of this. It is having a tremendous impact on cost here in America, both obviously in terms of prescription drug cost overall, but obviously the death toll that we have seen from this illicit drug trafficking and trade between China.
I also want to talk about what the president's taken action. What was it like for you to go back to D.C. and see the nation's capital cleaned up? And how do you feel about other Democratic governors and mayors who, I guess, don't want that type of crackdown on crime? How do you explain that mindset?
Look, Brian, the crime epidemic that we have seen across this country over the last few years is shameful. And it has nothing to do with law enforcement. They're not the ones that are not doing their jobs. It's the politicians that have enacted disastrous policies like cashless bail in New York and raised the age where 16 and 17-year-olds are using guns in the commission of a crime hired by gangs because they know they're going to get a slap on the wrist in family court rather than criminal court. When you look at the stats out of Washington, D.C., where only 1.7% of gun crimes that result in a conviction end up in jail time, there is a fundamental problem with how the law is being prosecuted in Washington, D.C. And so what the president is doing, along with the U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro, cracking down on crime, bringing in the National Guard, bringing about the FBI and ATF and DEA to crack down on the drug trafficking, the gang violence, cracking down on those that are using guns in the commission of a crime. That is exactly what needs to happen in every major city across this country. The use of the National Guard that many of my Democratic colleagues are decrying, they didn't seem to decry it when Kathy Hochul brought the National Guard into the MTA subway system because people were being burned alive on the subways and pushed in front of oncoming subway cars. We need to make sure that every resource is used to support law enforcement. Right. And it starts by changing the laws. Cashless bail in New York needs to be repealed. Criminals need to be prosecuted and they need to serve jail time, period.
Absolutely. Two-thirds of the public say crime is a major problem in America, but the Democrats don't seem to want to read that poll. Congressman Mike Lawler, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
I thought it was a beautiful ceremony. I thought it was very, very impressive. But I understood the reason they were doing it, and they were hoping I was watching, and I was watching. My relationship with all of them is very good. We're going to find out how good it is over the next week or two.
Yes, we are. President Trump reacting to the new axis of evil on full display this week at China's military parade in commemoration of the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. You know, they forgot to give us any credit. I believe there's some footage available in case they forgot. China's President Xi hosted Russian President Vladimir Putin, North Korea's Kim Jong-un, and Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian. What do these strengthening ties mean for America and its foreign adversaries? No better person to talk to than Douglas Murray, author of On Democracies and Death Cults. He's with us now in studio. Douglas, when we catch you in America, we love to get you in studio. And when I thought about that military parade and what the world should be looking at, I thought no better person to talk to than you. Put in perspective what was on display this week.
It was a display of strength by what you might call this kind of axis of evil. It was a demonstration that there are countries that believe that they can run the world without America or instead of America or over the head of America. It's an extraordinary sight to see. I mean, Kim Jong-un, who, of course, you know, Trump in Trump 1, walked away from the negotiations with Kim Jong-un because there was nothing to negotiate about. There was nothing he was going to give up. With Putin, we're going to see. He doesn't seem to be very malleable at the moment either. But what you see is these countries, as a result, forming this coalition with, I mean, you know, let's admit it, you know, China is a rival and potentially an adversary of the U.S., but the Iranian Revolutionary Government represented, the government that has been colonizing the Middle East and spreading its terror proxies across the region and firing at American and British and other vessels.
They've just been humiliated by Israel and by America.
And now potentially resuscitated, welcomed back in by this other attempt at creating a power block in the world.
So with this president of the United States, just put this on Truth Social, because there was another country there that I didn't mention. It was India.
Looks like we lost India, Russia to deepest, darkest China. May they have a long and prosperous future together, tongue firmly in cheek, like only Trump can say. Your interpretation?
Yeah, I mean, I hope this is, I think it is a goad by the president.
Because we shouldn't give up on India.
Absolutely not. India is an extraordinary cultural, political, economic power. It has for a long time been standing in this position of looking which way it's going to lean on a variety of global issues, but absolutely they shouldn't be given up on. What Trump is obviously saying is, you know, do you want India in the years ahead to throw your lot in with the Islamic Revolutionary Government, with Putin's Russia, with Kim Jong-un, with these people? Do you want that, or would you like to throw your lot in with the United States of America? And of course, in the long term, the US is going to be a much better, more formidable ally for India than any of these other countries. But watching India pivot slightly like that is definitely a warning to America and to all of America's allies.
One of the rockets, one of the missiles that they had on display is called a Guam Killer. Mm-hmm. They had video of American would-be aircraft carriers being taken out by their missile. So they're telling you, America, we're coming after you. Yeah. It's going to be your choice whether you want to make this a something we could talk about, or we're going to have to fight about it. Meanwhile, as something else you're very familiar with is UK and free speech. It looks like they're having a problem with it, especially when it comes to social media. How do you explain what's happening when they arrest a comedian for putting something out about transgenderism?
It's amazing. Graham Linehan is an incredibly successful sitcom writer and comedian, wrote Father Ted, among other sitcoms. He's taken a firm stance on the trans issue. He said for years, no, there's no such thing as a transgender child. No, dudes shouldn't compete in women's sports and so on. And for that, he has lost his career. He's lost his reputation in the eyes of many people. Of course, he's also been proven to be right. But the British police, who will not come to your house if you're burgled, will not chase up robbers of your mobile phone or your bicycle. Five armed police officers meet Graham Linehan at Heathrow Airport after he comes to Heathrow from the US. And remember, Graham Linehan is an Irish citizen. This is the British police arresting an Irish citizen on the way back from the US for the crime of pointing out truths?
It's crazy. And if people think because this is a British problem, it's not.
No.
This is a European problem because they're not cracking down on the mosques with Sharia law in their capitals, but they are with others. So Chris Martin, another, I believe, British performer, decides to do something ad lib and bring two people on stage. I want us to watch this together.
Where did you come from today? From Israel. Okay, well. Okay, well, listen, I'm going to say this. I'm very grateful that you're here as humans, and I am treating you as equal humans on Earth, regardless of where you come from or don't come from. Thank you for being here. We're grateful, and thank you for being loving and kind. Okay, I'm writing a sign. And although it's controversial, maybe, I also want to welcome people in the audience from Palestine, because we have a belief that we're all equally human.
That's nice of him to acknowledge Jewish kids as humans.
Yeah, it's really bold of Chris Martin to do that, isn't it? Can you imagine any other group of people, any other nation in the world, who if two people came on stage, you'd say, oh, I recognize you as fellow humans. I mean, if you would you want to do that with anyone from Africa? Do you want to do that with anyone from any other
imagine
country?
Imagine if it's two black people?
Absolutely. I mean, would he be celebrated for that? You know what this is a sign of is the weird religion of Palestinianism in our time. This weird way in which people who know nothing about global politics, know nothing about wars and so on, decide to make this fetish of the Palestinian people and to deride and to slander the people of the one Jewish state in the world.
On a daily basis, you go to bat for Ukraine to be successful and for Israel to finish the job. And I hope both things happen real soon. Douglas Murray, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, coming up straight ahead, Democrats are in a tailspin. We'll have more on the populist road they are going down and how it will make things worse in many ways. And still to come, Curtis Sliwa is determined to stop the socialist movement. How? He'll tell us. And don't forget to catch me on stage. History, Liberty, and Laughs. Inspirational, motivational, and patriotic. Can you imagine? September 27th, Lawrence Jones will be joining me. And then Pottstown, Pennsylvania. Maybe Douglas will come to Pottstown with me.
I'd love that.
I'll explain it. It'll be great. I'll pay for most of your way. Brian Kilmeade.
Hey, let's go put some miles on it. at Fisher Investments.
All right, we've reached a point where it's clear the Democratic Party's agenda and direction just aren't working, even for Democrats. Some are so frustrated with a lack of clear messaging, they're leaving the party altogether. I'll give you an example. Chicago Alderman Nicholas Posada.
Democratic Party has gotten out of control. I did not leave the party. The party left me. So they're just embracing the lefty loons of the world. I don't understand it. I really don't. They're embracing crime, criminals, lefty, hard left people. I don't understand it.
So even liberal commentator Ezra Klein recently warned that Democrats need to embrace what he calls an abundance agenda, focusing on infrastructure, innovation, and hopefully a vision instead of simply reacting to threats, mainly from President Trump. But Dems don't seem to be listening because the only thing consistent is them not liking the current president.
Well, Caitlin, I do a really good imitation of a chicken. If you'd like to hear it, I can do it. But I'll say it again. T-A-C-O, Trump always chickens out.
Donald Trump is an authoritarian. Donald Trump wants to be a dictator. Donald Trump is subverting the rule of law, deploy military forces in order to undermine free and fair elections in 2026.
I don't think Donald Trump wants another election. Who spends $200 million on a ballroom at their home and then leaves? He's talking about eliminating voting machines he doesn't like, where he can declare a declaration of emergency for anything.
ICE is not going to show up around voting and polling booths to chill participation.
Really? So what's the path forward? Because at this point, the old Trump is terrible, he is trouble, has lost his punch. Plus, in 3 years, like it or not, he's going to be gone. Joining us right now, Fox News contributor, OutKick host Tommy Lahren is fearless. I love it. That's a great show. Along with Democratic strategist, former press secretary for Jill Biden, Michael LaRosa. Michael, great to see you. Your thoughts on what, if they asked Michael LaRosa what the Democratic winning theme would be, what would you say, Mike?
I wrote this for FoxNews.com earlier this week. It's common sense, cultural common sense. Our North Star has to be that. This is a midterm election. This isn't a national contrast between two specific personalities, strengths and weaknesses. This is about 45 to 55 competitive seats and who can best represent those communities. That's what the fight is all about. So what works in Long Island won't work in the Lehigh Valley where I'm from. What works in the suburbs of Colorado or Denver won't work in Orange County. That's where the fight is going to be. That's where the majority will take, that's where Democrats will take back the majority in those places.
Common sense and culture. Right now, the Democratic Party was asked, members of it, what do you think of your party? 63% unfavorable, 33% favorable. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. So, Tommy, do you think fighting the culture fight, going after the culture, will be working? Because the Ezra Klein method is do it right. And the best example is the train to nowhere. It's supposed to be between San Francisco and Los Angeles. 10 years later, they still haven't built it, and it's billions of dollars are into it. Democrats have to show they can get things done.
Well, you're exactly right, Brian, and that's the big problem here, because President Trump is presenting a lot of problems that he has a solution for. You see crime, you send in the National Guard, you do whatever you can with the authority and power you have to make a difference in everyday Americans' lives. But I'll tell you, I think the biggest problem with the Democrat Party now is that they're quite frankly bored with the issues that impact everyday America. I think they are tethered to LGBTQ, BLM, Antifa. They are tethered to illegal aliens. They are tethered to communism, socialism, Palestine, all the things that get people out to riot, to loot, to protest. That is what they are tethered to because that excites them. That gets them headlines. That gets them podcast opportunities. That gets them Jasmine Crockett on cable news. That doesn't get them anywhere with everyday Americans. But I think that they are so enthralled with lights, camera, action that all those bread and butter kitchen table issues, I think they've thrown those to the wind. Just doesn't excite the Democrat Party right now.
So one person used to work with Jen Psaki, press secretary turned host. She says this: I never saw signs of President Biden's decline, but has no problem talking about Donald Trump's health. Listen to this.
I never saw that person, not a single time. And I was in the Oval Office every day that was on that debate stage.
And that absence, and you may have seen this over the weekend if you looked at any social media platform, prompted quite a wave of online speculation about the president's health and well-being. And look, we may never know why Donald Trump suddenly spent a week hiding entirely from the American public.
If there's anyone in America, Michael, that doesn't hide from the American public, it's Donald Trump. He was just down for a few days while giving interviews on the radio. Your thoughts about that strategy?
Well, you know, Jen's been a friend and a mentor of mine for about 15 years. When I left TV to go to Capitol Hill and then to go work on a presidential campaign, she was a close mentor, and I got to work with her on the transition and in the White House. But look, she's a cable news host now in prime time, and she clearly wants to keep that job. So I think she understands and knows where her bread is being buttered, and it's in a very narrow slice of a very left-wing audience. But Jen is smart enough, and Jen knows very well that her audience that she's playing to right now and throwing the red meat to is not a reflection of Democratic Party voters. If it were, Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders would have beat Joe Biden 4 years ago.
Here's the interesting thing. If you're going to tell me I never saw the Joe Biden from that debate stage behind closed doors, and then says, by the way, Donald Trump's hiding a health problem, both things can't be true. Don't expect me to believe it, because we know that Joe Biden was failing behind closed doors, because I know what happened when the doors were open. Listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin.
President Putin.
You're going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it.
Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
Putin may circle Kyiv with tanks, but he'll never gain the hearts and souls of the Iranian people. He'll never extinguish their love of freedom.
So, obviously, Jackie had passed away. These are major gaffes in front of the camera. Tommy, did you see what Jen didn't?
I think we all did, and I've never spent a day around Joe Biden in my life, and I could see it. You know, Brian, you could see it. I'm sure you haven't spent much time around Joe either. I think Michael, if he's being honest, will also say that he probably saw it as well. So here's the reason why these audiences on MSNBC and CNN are shrinking, really, by the minutes, because they're lying to their audience. Why would anyone trust Jen Psaki with anything? Either she's an imbecile and she can't see what's right in front of her face, or she's lying to the American people about what she saw. I would also say, Michael, you got to get a better mentor. I would recommend Brian Kilmeade.
I'm available. So far, there's a lot of mentors in my office right now waiting, but I'll find room for you, Michael. Real quick, your response.
Thanks. Yeah, look, Jen was probably the best hire Joe Biden made by going outside of his comfort zone and finding somebody who really wasn't tethered to sort of the right. cult of the Biden world. She's a gifted communicator, but look, she's a primetime cable news host now. She wants to keep that job. She's playing to the base. She's throwing the red meat out there. She's doing what she has to do to keep her show.
Michael and Tommy, great job. Thanks so much. Meanwhile, straight ahead on this show, Mamdani's entire campaign is privileged and inexperienced, and Curtis Sliwa is looking to put a stop to it. He joins us next, talking about the mayor's race.
Girlfriend. True crime lovers, buckle up. It's Fox Justice on Fox Nation. Binge all new shows and new episodes of your favorite crime series with chilling new stories.
I'm Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, and this is 50 Ways to Catch a Killer.
Captivating mysteries.
This is no rest, no he's gone.
Brazen encounters.
No, the ground now!
Get out of the vehicle!
Trying not to commit a crime on camera.
And the fight for justice.
How much money has she lost?
About 30,000.
Fox Justice, only on Fox Nation. America is streaming.
I wish I could just...
Welcome to Fox News Live. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer in New York. President Trump says he will speak with Russian President Vladimir Putin in the coming days after signaling his administration is ready to impose more sanctions against Moscow. The news comes a day after Russia launched its largest air attack on Ukraine. The president has grown increasingly frustrated with the lack of progress in peace talks with Ukraine. And Ukraine's president is urging the West to keep maximum pressure on Russia. Border czar Tom Holman is promising more workplace immigration raids like the one at a Georgia Hyundai plant last week. In total, 475 workers were detained. 300 of them were from South Korea. South Korea's government says they will soon be sent home on a charter flight. President Trump is calling on all foreign companies investing in the U.S. to respect the immigration laws. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer. Back to One Nation with Brian Kilmeade.
So, Democratic Socialist Zoran Ramdani is all the rage in New York City in this big mayor's race, which is of national news. But who really is behind that guy that could shape the future of New York City, the number one city in the country, arguably the world? Meet the Brain Trust, a crew of privileged left-wing Gen Z radicals, most with zero government experience. The New York Post revealing 8 of the 18 staffers under 35, some with ties to billionaire George Soros, and it gets worse, they also have ties to Hollywood elites, with more backgrounds in prep schools than in public service. My next guest is determined to make sure these people don't end up running New York City. Joining us now, Republican mayoral candidate Curtis Sliwa. Curtis, welcome. When you game planned this out,
yes,
I imagine you thought, I'm going against Adams. Now Cuomo comes in late.
Yes.
How do you game plan against Ramdani, a socialist, a proud socialist?
Now, you mentioned his bench, but you forgot to mention his mentor and his brother in solidarity, Bill de Blasio, the most hated political figure in the history of New York City, hated by the right, hated by the left. And now they've embraced one another. So clearly, people who don't know who Zoran Ramdani is because he's sort of the new kid on the block, when you attach him to Bill de Blasio, then everybody will say, he's Bill de Blasio on steroids. We already had 8 years of de Blasio destroying New York City. 4 years more would put the nail right in the coffin.
And just to review, we live this every day in New York, but it's now a national story. He wants to freeze rents, screw landlords, screw owners, forget billionaires. He wants to get rid of them. City-run grocery stores. John Casamitidis really loves that of Christidis. Social workers to replace the police. Free buses. $70 billion of debt to afford affordable houses and spent for affordable housing. $30 minimum wage. How much is this practical?
Let me tell you the things that you didn't mention that are his Achilles heel. He doesn't want anybody locked up for misdemeanors of any type. He doesn't want anybody incarcerated. Nobody would be put into prison. So immediately we're in the midst of this gang retaliatory crime wave where blood is flowing in the streets of New York City. He doesn't have an answer for that. And I'm the only candidate who's the law and order candidate. I'm the Republican. I say, you take gangbangers and you lock them up. That's how you do away with gang violence. He believes you have social workers coddle them. But notice, his entourage now are armed, trained NYPD police officers that are with him 24-7 to protect him. Yet he wants social workers instead of police. Hit him on the issues. He's vulnerable.
So you have AARP who puts out a poll, late August. Mamdami's got 42% of the vote, Cuomo 23%, you with 17%, and Adams with 9%. Word is coming pressure from the White House to clear the field for Cuomo. Have you felt that pressure?
No, I have not. I have not received one call either from the president himself or any of his staff or friends or relatives or people associated with the administration. And I'll tell you this, if the president himself were to call me up, I respectfully say, Mr. President, I am the law and order candidate. I am the person opposed to illegal aliens voting, opposed to sanctuary city. This is part of your mandate. Why would you want to support Cuomo? No cash bail, Cuomo. Raise the bail. Raise the age to 18. And a person responsible for so many dead grandmothers and grandfathers. People don't like Cuomo. His unfavorables are in the 60s.
And he seems lazy. So he doesn't seem to be working hard.
He's in the Hamptons.
What you said, you listen to my radio show, I believe almost everything you say. I talk about it almost every day. Trump talks about it every day. But Trump can't win New York City.
No.
So that's the problem. If you believe what Trump believes, he likes that. But he also knows, as a political astute political observer, it can't win in New York. How do you do that?
Well, first off, Cuomo already had his chance. He got destroyed in the Democratic primary. So what makes you think all of a sudden a revived, resurrected Andrew Cuomo with so much baggage is going to do any better this time? I'm the candidate who is the Republican candidate. I am a major party candidate. Zoran Ramdani does not want to debate me on that stage because I
will
know he does not want to debate me on that stage.
Will you have debates? Do you know a debate schedule?
Absolutely. There's two required because you get matching funds. And by the way, speaking of matching funds, I would say to the president who's cogent of this, I've just raised $4 million. I've outraised Eric Adams and Andrew Cuomo combined in the last two quarters. I'm surging in the polls. I'm bringing in an average donation of $119, which is matched 8 times, according to the city rules. Why would I drop out when I'm moving up? And Andrew Cuomo is just old news that people don't like. People do not like Andrew Cuomo. And if you're not likable, they're not going to vote for you. Stay home.
You should tell people, too, who's responsible for no cash bail.
Oh, no cash bail, Andrew Cuomo. And by the way, he doubled down on that in the primary. No cash bail. And he believes that you should shut Rikers Island, which is our prison facility for inmates in New York City. This guy has led to the crime epidemic in New York State, New York City. Now we want to give him another opportunity to completely destroy New York? No. I am the only person standing in the way to prevent him and Zohran Mamdani from doing that. Andrew Cuomo is Zohran Mamdani light. He now wants free buses, free subways. Brian, who's going to pay for all of that?
I hear you. You're practical.
How about locking up people who don't pay their fare?
But, Curtis, I have not seen you leading in any poll. How are you supposed to win?
Excuse me. Last time I was being told, forget about it. There's going to be a coronation for Andrew Cuomo. He's 40 percentage points ahead 1 month out in the primary. He lost by 13 points. You're going to believe these polls?
So you don't.
I know that my favorable ratings are high, and I know that it's not only Republicans, it's independent, moderate, Democrats. And remember, I have the independent line, protect animals, no kill shelters, put animal abusers in jail. That resonates with a lot of people.
And you're going to have cats kill the rats.
Cats kill the rats. I like that. Very good.
Curtis, thanks so much. I look forward to this race. One thing about you, you're not going to be outworked, which I love.
Never.
All right. Thanks so much, Curtis Lee. We'll follow this because it's a national story. Next, only on One Nation, Emily Austin is back with the media moments that matter. Get over here, Emily. Everybody got a dream out loud. Everybody got to beat themselves.
Square pegs make the world go round. Effective, healthy blood
that matter.
All right, it's time for North America's favorite segment. Of course, the media moments that matter. You just heard the guy with the deep voice say it. And now this week we gave the VCR, we gave the cords and my tape stock back to Emily Austin. Emily, I'm glad you're learning to work the VCR.
Yes, yes.
You have three stories for us. First one I found fascinating that you gave me, Malcolm Gladwell. You know the guy that came up with Outliers? He said in 2022 he feels guilty about what he said at this sports analytics conference. He said that men, trans athletes, should be allowed to play in women's sports. He didn't feel that way. He felt almost cowed into saying that.
Right.
So that was out there. And maybe in 22 is acceptable, but something's changed.
Yeah, listen, I found him saying this on a podcast.
The reason I'm ashamed of my performance at that panel, because I share your position 100%, and I was cowed. The idea of saying anything on this issue, they're not asking for, you know, a place at the table. They're not asking for to be treated with respect and dignity. What they're asking is for no one to question the considerable physiological advantage they bring to the sport, and no one to question if they're going to win these races by 5 seconds. Suck it up.
Yes, but we were saying this years ago, Emily.
It's always too little, too late. Everybody wants to walk back on their very damaging comments because the damage is already done. And now that the whole country has woken up to the realization, you want to hop on that train? Too little, too late. You're not forgiven.
But the one thing I would say, I enjoyed him saying, look, I was cowed. I was intimidated.
We know.
Right. Okay, good.
You are going to love this one. Prepare yourself.
Back to sports.
Back to sports as usual. Yankees announcer Michael Kay defends manager Aaron Boone with a pretty bizarre analogy about orgies.
See, the problem is that Aaron Boone did something pretty unorthodox. As a baseball manager of the New York Yankees, in the midst of a stretch run to get in the playoffs, he decided to go to the UNC football game. People were upset by that, and yet people defended him. Watch.
You know, when players are out, they should be back in their hotel room. Okay, what if they're having an orgy in their hotel room? Is that okay? You wouldn't know about it. So if they go out to dinner with people, or they're having fun with people outside, that angers you because there's a game the next day. But if they were in the hotel room and they set up a trapeze and there were people flying through the air having an orgy, you wouldn't know about it, but you'd be fine. The things that people get upset about, it's just beyond me.
Is he wrong? He was weirdly specific. What is he wrong?
we'll put it this way. Where that came to justify Aaron Boone going to watch Bill Belichick's debut, how it ended up with a trapeze in a whole room in his hotel room with an orgy.
The trapeze threw me off.
I know.
That was too specific.
A lot of things threw me off about that. But Aaron Boone, that's your defender. But you weren't done yet.
One more. We got one more. Our favorite, Steve Harvey, stunned by Family Feud contestants pretty dark answer on how she'd like to die. Take a look at this.
If you could choose how you die, you'd die blanket.
Well, I would say I would probably go quick, fast, in a hurry, in a wreck.
In a wreck?
Yeah, quick, fast, in a hurry. Just take me on out.
He was stunned.
I mean, that's the very last way I'd like to go. Brian, how would you like to die?
I'm not thinking about it. You know, I'd probably, and I'm also not going on that Family Feud, but I think he lives for moments like that
on
the show.
Of course, of course.
All right.
Like that.
Emily, thanks so much. Great
Thank
to see you.
You.
Appreciate it. Hey, up next, the sneak peek of the week. Don't forget, by the way, follow me on social media, Rumble, Instagram, X, Facebook, and join the Culper Club. Great pictures of a dog that you have learned to love, Bear. Don't move.
We have a little six-year-old girl that's murdered in her house.
None of the investigators were trained in homicide.
We were not thinking about DNA at all.
This individual was on our top 20 list.
There were a number of items taken from the crime scene that were never tested.
He said, write down this name. And he said, just start there.
JonBenet, The Killer List. Streaming now on Fox Nation.
At Fisher Investments, we...
Before we go, your sneak peek of the week ahead. President Trump will speak at the Museum of the Bible during a hearing on religious liberty and education. That should be interesting. Means a lot to him, of course. Wednesday, Trump's 30-day emergency takeover of the Washington, D.C. police force expires. I look for that to be extended. I'm sure he does, too. Also, how about this? The Trump administration expected to release its Make America Healthy Again Commission report. We've already seen some progress there and some fireworks last week. And the president expected to throw out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium, marking the 24th anniversary since the 9/11 attacks. And a quick update on America's favorite Bernese Mountain Dog, Bear. I have a few pictures to share with you. As you can see, Bear getting along a little bit better with Willow, kind of hanging out. He's gone from 26 to 30 to 34 pounds. For Willow, 120, but she does not like when I bring up her weight on television. I'll continue to update those two giant dogs as they get bigger and bigger. That is it for us tonight. Tune into my radio show. Amongst my guests, Lawrence Jones, Michael Goodwin, and other surprises. And in just a few hours, you can watch me on Fox and Friends. I promise to shower and wear something different. And remember these two things, to stay within yourself and keep it all right here on Fox News. I'm going to go shower.
I'm Janice Dean. Join me every Sunday as I focus on stories of hope and people who are truly rays of sunshine in their community and across the world.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com.